Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Today's guest is Coach Michael Burnett from Tuscarora High School in Virginia. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great being here.
So, Coach, let's get into it and go all the way back, take it back to the beginning. What made you want to become a football coach?
Well, you know, I think deep inside I always wanted to be. I was actually an attorney right out of college. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to make a lot of money and go that route. And about 2 or 3 years into it, I realized that, I couldn't do that the rest of my life. And I tried to figure something. What would I always want to do? And to be honest, I always loved coaching. I worked with kids really all through college and then through law school. I started coaching, and then I got into teaching through coaching, and it's just been the best decision I ever made.
Where'd you get your start in coaching?
My first head job was at Santa Monica High School out in California. My wife and I had moved out there. We were young. Didn't have any kids. And so it was a great place to be, and the opportunity arose out there to become a head coach. I was very young and very unprepared, but that's where I got it started.
What did you learn in those early days of coaching?
Well, you learn a lot in the early days, and I think that's really the key. You know, you start, you have kind of an idea of what you think it's like, and I made all the mistakes I think young coaches make in thinking things like, you know, what uniform you're going to wear is important, and other things like that, and what type of offense you want to run, instead of realizing, you know, that it's really about philosophy and having a philosophy and surrounding yourself with like-minded people who believe in the same belief system you do. And from that point, you can figure out offense and defense and uniforms and pregame music later down the road.
Yeah, those things don't quite matter as much. It's definitely about the kids. Coach, what, over the course of your career now to this point, you certainly have gained a lot of honors over the years, but I'm sure that you're a coach who finds some key points and some key things that you learn and develop from. So what were some of those key points in your development?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things you learn, and I think I still am learning it, is that, you really don't chase wins. A lot of people focus on the fact that we've won a lot of games. And I think that one of the things I've learned from successful coaches is don't make decisions in the kind of coach you are and the kind of program you want to run in order to win games. Believe in building young men of character and commitment and discipline. And those traits are traits that are going to lead you to success. And it's very hard when you're a young coach. You just want to win. And you compromise a lot of your values and, you put up with things from certain players and coaches and things alike. And you learn along the way that maybe that one win or two wins that it got you, it's going to cost you a lot more down the road. And I think that's probably the greatest lesson I learned.
Earlier you mentioned your philosophy and developing philosophy. Who had the greatest impact on your coaching philosophy?
I had a lot of great mentor coaches. I coached out in California. I coached basketball for a while. I had a great coach out there, Mike White, and a high school coach. And then there's just so many great coaches. When I had a chance to be out in Los Angeles, I got a chance to meet with the coaches at De La Salle and Mater Dei and teams that are perennial. And what kind of rang true, it was really the same simple messages, and which is, again, keep things simple and really believe in what you're doing. And then football-wise, I started looking into John McKay. I happened to be out there, and I started looking at what kind of offense we wanted to run, and was really pretty fascinated about how they were done. They just called toss right in the huddle, and competed for national championships. And to this day, toss right is one of our base plays. It's not 32 quick flip, bubble. It's, pro right, toss right. And I kind of model our offense and our philosophy on that, and I just kind of progress from there.
So what has become, or what are some main things that have become part of your philosophy?
Well, keeping it simple, you know, I think that there's so much information out there. The game has gotten very, very complicated, complex, and there's some phenomenal coaches out there. I believe, and I find guys around me that believe that, kids perform best when they know what they're doing, more than anything. And to do that, I think you have to keep things relatively simple and stay true to who you are. And have a system where you teach the technique, and once you teach the plays, and you can make adjustments. But it's really all about the kids and the players. If they're not comfortable with it, you can draw up the greatest play in the world with complicated scheme and blitz, but if they can't execute it, that's it. So our emphasis is always on simplicity and execution. And from there, you've got to add your wrinkle, but it has to start with the basics.
As a coach, and you talked about it in the beginning, really focusing on those X's and O's a little bit more as you kind of learn, beyond the science of coaching, you start to learn the art of it. But all of us develop that area we're kind of an expertise in, the area when we go in and interview for a job, and you say, this is my strength, and you kind of build on that. What would you say is your area of expertise?
Well, I think, controlling the football. And what that means is, when I first took over, I'm not a complicated man. I think that you look at successful programs, and what I saw was the teams that were playing in December all were able to run the football. They were all able to dictate the pace of the game. Everybody throws the ball around all the time and has high tempo and all that beat stuff. And then you watch the state championship game, and what you see are, a lot of tight ends and two backs and handing the ball off and running the clock. And I think that's what we do well, is we kind of dictate the tempo of a game. We try to control the possessions, get the most of our possessions. We don't punt almost never, because we really believe that the game's about possession. But if we can get more than they can, we can win the football game.
And obviously, you've been able to do that very well. You have a lot of wins in your career, and 38 of 39 in a row, including two state championships. But I think when you reach that level, it's certainly more about the X's and O's, and it's about the culture that you develop. So what are some of the things that you've done to build a culture within your program?
Well, it's really about, teamwork and belief in each other. I just think football is the most selfless game there is, and I think we produce really selfless kids. That they're willing to do what's necessary for us to be successful. Because our big X and O thing, we love to run two backs and a tight end, and we love to run power and counter and toss. And, the X's and O's for us are just really considering all the potential options that they may line up in. And so for us, we think we're gonna run those plays. And we're going to prepare, and we're going to believe, and we're going to trust. And when it doesn't work, we're going to evaluate what we did wrong. And, at some point, we may not be the most genetically blessed team out there, but if we lose, we're going to make sure we lose to somebody who outperformed us and we're simply superior to us.
What type of offense do you guys run? What do you can? I know you said two-back tight end. Are you a pro-style offense?
We were a pro-eye team for years and years. We're now in the pistol. Because I think it offers us a little bit more, especially with the RPOs that are coming our way, and I think they offer us a little bit more wrinkles. But the bread and butter of our team is our ability to run, power counter toss. If you went into our huddle 10 years ago and you go into our huddle today, you might hear pro right, power right. And our kids, and what we will do is we will prepare how to block it against every potential scenario. And keep it really simple so that our kids always know what they're doing. If teams want to play us a certain way, we'll change how we run that play. But we're going to run that play. That's our play. And we believe in it. We've been able to rush for, 3,000 yards a year, many years in a row. And we think down the road, even though teams sometimes come out and score quick on us and are able to put a point, that you can wear people down doing that, and that's what we've done.
We'll come back to that play in a second here. Let's think about, the preparation side of it. You talked about that. What are the best things that you and your coaching staff are doing to teach your system to your players so they have that level of understanding they need to go out and execute on a Friday night?
Well, I think it's, I think a lot of the coaching part nowadays, it's really a 12-month-a-year job, and I think that what we do as a staff is we try to, incorporate intensity and competition in our off season, to be honest with you. And, we don't have long weight room sessions. We don't have long practices. It's a busy world out there today. And so we try to bring our kids in 5 days a week, and we try to work them really intensely in their workouts, in their preparation, and to compete. I think that's a big thing, is that we have to compete almost in everything that we do. We set up our training that way. And I think that's the philosophy that really translates well, that when August rolls up, our kids are very ready for, a high-intensity practice where they're going to compete.
Now let's go into your play a little bit. You're going to run that play, 15, 20 or more times a game, correct? This is what you're going to start with. Kind of coach us through that play. I know everybody might be familiar with that, but I know I've always, in talking through plays, I always find one little thing that I could add to how we teach it that's pretty good. So talk us through your play.
Well, I think the big thing is, I remember it goes back to John McKay and just shooting bodies right. And, they would call toss right, and they don't dictate where the ball is going to be run, I think, is the big difference. When we run our power play, a lot of people think, oh, it's an off-tackle play. But where the ball gets run, that's why we don't call, 32, because there's no two-hole and four-hole and six-hole. Teams are too good now, and schemes are too good. So we know that we're going to run power right, and we're going to down block, and we're going to pull our guard, and we're going to kick the end. But we might run it, right behind the guard. That our backs know, based on alignment, how we're going to run that. Are we going to pull a little bit tighter? And I think that's the thing, is there's only so many ways a team can line up. We don't spend a lot of time on learning an over front or an under front or a 30 or a 40. We just know that if you're a guard, an offensive guard, there's only three scenarios. There's the inside of you, head up, or outside of you. And so we prepare for that scenario. And so if you're a guard, you know your role. And if one of these three things happen, this is what you have. And if you're the tackle, this is what you have. And so what it does for us is it allows our running backs to realize, I don't have to just run to a hole. I'm going to, I'm going to read that alignment, and it might pop inside. And for us, power might turn into power sweep, because if you realize we're going to kick the end, 100% of the time, you're going to try to spill or run on. And we have an automatic adjustment that will immediately steal that end and wrap it, the pull, and we're going to turn it into what we call power sweep. So it may look like a couple of different plays, but it's the same play for us. And all we're doing is we're going to react to what the defense does. And that's really been been the staple of us. And then the real key, I think, if you're going to have a go-to play, is you got to be able to get teams off balance with alignments and formation and still run the same play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we've been very good at. That's what we've really morphed over the years, is we've taken it where we can just run that play over and over again. And as teams got better and the competition got better, we now have to be able to run it out of one back set and figure out, how can we get that same exact look, maybe with a receiver coming in motion, or can we run it without a tight end? And can we, or can we run it in unbalanced, which may cause them to line up, get them alignment. But for our kids, it doesn't change anything. And I think that's the key, is that for your players, those are your rules. The way we run it, and we're going to execute it. And then if teams take it away, it's happened. I mean, teams are going to take it away. Then we'll adjust, but we're not going to do that until we're going to force you to take that play away from us.
So as you're looking at the beginning of the week, what things are going to help you determine, all right, this is how we're going to run it this week, this is the formation we want, or this is the personnel group we want to run it on balance, et cetera. What helps you determine that at the beginning of the week?
Right, and we're going to look at how a team traditionally lines up. But for our kids, I think this is a key really for all high school kids in a good running game, is you cannot prepare and say this is where they're going to line up. We could say this is where they're most likely to line up, but it's high school football, and sometimes kids don't line up correctly. Sometimes teams make radical adjustments in what they do. And we've seen 9 on the line of scrimmage. Things that you think, what is that? And so we try to tell our kids, look, keep it simple. Again, it doesn't matter. Is the inside straight, head up, or outside straight? These are your three steps, and do your job. And if they do put 9 on the line of scrimmage, then that's my job. When they do something, something radical, then my job is to, you know, make an adjustment, call a different play, take advantage of now what they've exposed themselves. But having the kids believe in you, believe in the play, believe in each other, and, you know, it's really overestimated. But, you know, kids will turn on each other, kids will get down. You know, you see teams get stopped and kind of fall apart. You know, we're not going to do that. We're going to stay the course and do well.
Coach, let's put a little pressure on you now. Maybe a situation because of the time in the game, et cetera, that maybe power isn't the call. The situation is this. It's 3rd-and-7 on the 30-yard line going in, the plus 30. There's 30 seconds to go in the game with no timeouts. You guys need to get to the end zone. You got to score a touchdown here to win. You're playing against an opponent, just like you said. They've been mixing it up. They've been in different fronts. They've been showing some pressure. They've been showing different coverages. What's your call in this situation?
Well, I would say a little different than most people, you know, in the sense that I don't look at 3rd-and-7 as, you know, that I think you got to take it with the best player. For us, it's been our tailback. And, you know, I in a situation like that, I would probably spread the formation and try to run a counter play, to be honest with you. That's our bread and butter. And why? Because we probably have a better chance, since we run the football so much, of ripping that play, getting us into a conversion, a play where we have a realistic chance at a score, where we're just going to say, look, we're not trying to score. We're not going to throw the ball downfield 25 yards because that's not what we do. You know, we're going to try to pick up a reasonable yardage quickly here. You know, we're pretty proficient in our ability to get lined up quickly. We practice that every single day. So I'm not afraid to run the ball. I will also say that usually that's why I will hold timeouts. I will always hold the timeout so that I can run the ball in a situation where most people think we're going to throw. Because, again, this is high school football. If I can get the ball in the best player's hand in space, I think I have a better chance than just throwing it up to that. You know, so that's the scenario that we're trying to get to. You know, and obviously when you get forced to throw, in that case, we're a big rollout team. We like to have our quarterback have a chance to run and throw. And, you know, those are really the two things that I would do in that situation.
Coach, we're going to shift gears here and go into a segment we call Lessons and Learning, and just talk about some of the things you've learned in the past and some ideas that you could pass on to our listeners. So, first of all, what's a mistake you made as a young coach, and what did you learn from it?
Well, you know, one thing is thinking you can coach everything. You have to find, quality assistance, you know, and you have to get them as much football knowledge as you can, whether it's going to clinics or videos or the internet now. You know, it's really having help. It's football is not a job for one. You know, every successful coach is going to tell you, you just surround yourself with other people. And for me, it's like-minded people. I think the biggest mistake I made as a young person was trying to just bring in football guys. Guys who knew a lot of football. And what I realize now is I often bring in guys who don't have a lot of coaching experience but believe in the same things I do and believe in accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish just so that we're all on the same page. And I think that's really a huge mistake that young coaches make in hiring. You're thinking, well, this guy has 20 years of experience, and so he's going to be great. But if it's not what you want to do, it's going to be problematic.
Yeah, definitely. Coach, what would you say is the best piece of advice that you've received?
Best piece of advice is to coach the offensive line. I was not an offensive lineman. I knew very little about the offensive line. In the first year as a head coach, I let other people coach the offensive line. And I got that advice from a couple coaches out in California who were real successful at the time. And they said, listen, if you don't fully understand what's going on up front on the offensive side of the ball, then you cannot dictate the pace of the game, the course of the game. And at that point, I dug in and I learned it and I coached it. I've been coaching it ever since. And it's been the greatest reward I've ever had because they're the best kids to be around. You know, they're always the selfless kids. They're the most fun kids. And I tell every coach this, and listen, you know, I know you might think you're in defense, but the offense dictates so much. Your offense dictates so much of what your defense is going to do. And your offensive line is going to dictate what you're going to be able to do there. And so, you know, they're the heart of our program and our team, and they're always big in my heart, too. So.
Well, and it's a good place to learn the game. I mean, you know, it's easy to draw up pass routes and all those things, but really you have to get it done up front, whether it's the passing game or the running game. And if you don't understand that, you know, it's pretty difficult. So it is a great place for a young coach to cut his teeth, I think.
I think I do. And that is the one thing I would tell any coach.
Yeah. Coach, what's a book you'd recommend to our listeners?
A Season of Life. And it's a great book about building young men. You know, it's about turning young boys, you know, into productive young men and men built for others. It's Tough Football and Joe Ehrman. And I don't know if you're familiar.
Yes.
You know, his story. You know, but he's a terrific man. You know, went on to be a pastor and left the NFL and kind of turned his life around. And it's just a wonderful book about, you know, figuring out who you are and why you're doing this. And again, not chasing those wins. It's really, you know, it's moving to see how successful coaches are really aren't the ones always out there chasing those wins. And it really, really transformed, I think, who I was as a person.
Coach, what's your favorite piece of coaching technology or maybe something you want to work into your workflow?
Well, I got to say, and it just came on for us this last year, which is having the iPad on the sideline. You know, I'm not a big technology guy. And watching film is great. But, you know, being able to get the feedback on the end zone camera on the sideline during the game is really, you know, unbelievably useful, especially when you're worried about what's going on up front. You know, when you want to know why things aren't being successful and you can see what's happening and what they're doing, I've just found that to be really make it much easier for us to make adjustments.
Yeah, that immediate feedback definitely is, it's very useful. Have you guys ever used it in practice at all?
You know, we've tried, and you know, we're high school coaches are kind of overwhelmed. You know,
sure.
I'm still in an area where, you know, I teach sport classes, and we all do it. So we always plan on doing it in practice, and we kind of did it under fire during the games this year. And of course, we had our mishaps where it went out. But that's something I would recommend everybody, even if somebody who's really not a huge technological, you know, guy. That you said, that instant feedback, you know, especially with all the kind of RPOs and stuff teams are running, you can really look at it and say, oh, well, here's what's happening. Here's what they're doing, and this is what we got to do. And it really helped us a lot this year.
Coach, we're heading into the clinic season. What's something that you've taken from a coaching clinic and implemented in your own coaching?
Right, that's way too numerous to mention. And I would say, you know, to be honest with you, this is one of the pieces of advice for young coaches, and I do it for my coaches. As we go to clinics and I tell them, listen, from every speaker, just take one thing from every speaker. Don't try to take everything. We can't run their offense. We can't run their defense. We can't do everything they can do. But I'm telling you, if somebody's up there speaking, there is certainly something that they're going to say. And after that, what we do as a staff is we'll sit down and I'll say, all right, what do we take from this guy? And I want to know. I want to know what one piece can you take? And sometimes it's a drill. You know, my favorite thing I ever took was with our offensive line, we have PVC pipe, and we cut, you know, 18-inch strips, and our kids step over that PVC pipe on every drill they do. And it's just an unbelievable way to teach a kid to pick up their foot and put it down 6 inches in front of them. Because if they don't, they're going to fall out, you know, and so that was one thing I remember taking, and it's something that I've been doing for, you know, every day for 10 years. So there's a lot to get from clinics, but I think the key is to just try to take one thing.
Thinking of that now, as you look at the clinic season yourself, is there something specific on the field, a technique, a play, you know, something that you saw from a defense that you want to learn more about?
I think this evolution of the RPO and incorporating that quarterback as a runner and as a thrower, it's gotten so creative and it's so problematic for you that we want to do more of it. You know, I think it's something that you say, well, now, you know, that quarterback is accounting for a defensive player now. And when, you know, today took our quarterback and handed off the ball, and essentially that makes us outnumbered, you know, 10 on 11. And what has happened over the last few years is the offense has gotten that advantage back. It's now 11 on 11 where you can't just disregard the quarterback. And so we've got to do a better job defending it. And I think we've got to do a better job offensively taking advantage of that.
As you look at the game, Coach, and the future of our game, what are some major concerns you have and possibly some solutions you've thought of as well?
Well, yeah, I'm really concerned. And you know, I've been really blessed to be named NFL Coach of the Year. And I got a chance to go up and meet with, you know, executives at the NFL and talk to them about that very question. Because you know, I think the big series numbers right now is that people are shying away from the game. And I think part of the problem is that there's so much, you know, of course, we all know about the negative media attention on concussions. And, you know, and that's a real concern. And we certainly embrace that. I mean, we don't practice in full pads. We only practice in helmets and shoulder pads and go full speed. And I think that's something that I've tried to encourage young coaches to do because it minimizes, you know, those head impacts and those ground impacts that are the ones that really, you know, are dangerous. And you can practice full speed and you can execute full speed in just uppers. But I also think that the other piece is that we've got to continue to get out the message of all the great things that football does for young men. And that's the message. Is it's not about winning. It, you know, it really can't be. And, you know, I always try to say we've got to win the mom. You know, like why? We've got to win over the mom and let them know why. Why should your young man, why is he going to be a better man for playing football than other sports? And in my heart, I believe that. I believe that football better prepares young people for the challenges of manhood, of sacrifice, selflessness. You know, I love offensive linemen because I always say they never get the ball. And I say, well, guess what? You know, being a dad and a husband, I don't get the ball either. You know, so I try to tell people and teach people that, you know, it's much more about the qualities and the characters that they're going to get, because we've got to keep young men playing this game. I mean, I just think it's so important, you know, for our society.
Definitely, definitely. Coach, what advice would you give a young coach looking to get into this profession?
Well, I think find a coach, you know, you want to find a program that cares about those things that are important to you. And like in my case, you know, I think it is about the whole kid. Like we're not a program, like we don't go in and say, we're going to win state championships. We say, we're going to build young men who are going to compete for state championships, you know? And I think if you got to be in the right place philosophically. If you're under another, but you're getting into this and getting into it with a coach who really isn't your match philosophically, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of frustration. And there's a lot of great coaches. There's a lot of different ways to do this. And I have respect for them all. But I think the key is finding a place that you can really grow and, you know, as a person and as a coach and the kind of coach that you want to be.
This next question seems to be a tougher one for guys to answer. And you mentioned, you know, having to teach all your classes, being a dad, being a husband, all those things. So how do you create balance in your life in this profession?
There's no question that that's the most difficult one. You know, for me, you know, it starts with a great marriage, and it may sound corny, but, you know, when you go into a marriage, you go in under the understanding that this is who I am and this is what's important and why. And, you know, I'm really blessed to have a wife, who understands that when I'm not with my family, I'm doing good things. I'm not playing a game. I'm not playing around. I'm making sacrifices to make better people. And I think that message sounds that I'm not giving up time with my children so we can win a football game. I'm giving up time with my children so that I can make a man who's going to be a better father to his kids. And then when she understands that, my mission becomes hers and my own children. And so they embrace what I do. They encourage me to do what I do. And I also think you got to be smart with your time. You can't. There's way too many coaches. We don't meet on Sunday ever. Sunday is your family day. And people say, "Well, how do you not prepare on Sunday And I said, well, we prepare mentally. I'll find time at home when I have time with my family, but I'm not going to drag my coaches in for 8 hours sitting in a room. You know, you need to be, you can't come back with the kind of energy, intensity, passion that I want to have on Monday if you warm yourself out on Sunday and you're have your struggling with your family life. And, you know, I think it's consistent with the message we try to teach our kids.
Boy, I think that's something that a lot of coaches can learn from that example. You know, I hear so many guys talking about, oh, I'm a grinder. I'm going to, you know, work so hard. I'll work everybody. But you do need rest, too. You got to recharge the batteries. And you certainly have to spend time with your family. And, you know, those relationships are so important. So I hope that's a message that everybody heard loud and clear. We're going to pick up the pace now, Coach. We're going to go into our two-minute drill. Just some random fun questions here, and we'll see what you think. All right. Schematically, what's the toughest defense?
I think the 3-5.
Okay.
People bringing people all over the place.
I think I know the answer to this one. What's your favorite goal line play?
Power. Pro right, power right.
That was going to be my guess. Turf or grass?
Turf.
What's your favorite backfield set? I think I know this one too.
Pro eye, two backs, tight end.
Day game or night game?
Night game, always.
If you had to run your offense from one formation, what would it be?
Well, pro eye, of course. What
there
else
you
would
go.
It be?
There you go. What's your favorite quote?
If a man does his best, what else is there? By General Patton.
Should the kickoff be eliminated? Just read an article about this today.
That's a tough one. I would say no, because I think there's other ways to be creative in your kickoffs, but that's a tricky question. I agree.
If you could pick one football coach from the past to learn from, who would it be?
I think I'd like to meet John McKay.
I got his book sitting right here in front of me, actually, on my bookshelf. When you said John McKay, I almost pulled it out to start looking at it. Who's a coach from the present you'd want to learn from?
I love to see what Bill Belichick's like.
How many teams should be included in the FBS playoff system?
Oh, got to be 8.
And then all things being equal, I know this one. I could probably answer it for you. Run it or throw it?
Run it.
Coach, here's our final question. We want to help our listeners find the winning edge for their program. What's the one thing you point to as giving your program the winning edge?
Selflessness. You've got to find selfless people from start to finish, you know, from your coaches, your managers, your punts, your players. And when you get that group of people who all are willing to put themselves second and the common good first, those have been our most successful years.
Coach, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Learned a lot here today. How can our listeners connect with you?
Email's great. You can email me at michael.burnett at lcts.org. You can find me through Tuscarora High School in Leesburg, Virginia. I love getting emails, and I'm real good about getting back to people. And always happy to take in my thoughts. I never think there's any secrets. You know, we're all just trying to do good things with a great game.
Coaches, certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and I look forward to speaking with you in the future. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.